Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 4. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. I will read verse 11, but we will read responsibly beginning with 17 through 22 of 1 Samuel chapter number 4. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. Verse 11 says, "And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And the messenger answered and said, Israel was
17 through 22.
It is 17.
No, that was 12. Okay, I'm sorry.
Verse 17 says, "And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward from the sea of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the time we're able to meet in church tonight, Father. Lord, I thank you for the time we're able to hear the word of God preached. Father, I pray you'll be with our preacher, Lord, as he presents the message, Father. Lord, I pray you just be with him, help him, Father. Fill him with your power, fill him with your spirit, Lord. Help us to have a great time tonight, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
You may be seated. I need your attention tonight. Of course, we've been moving and running around, and it's been a busy day. But I'm going to preach at you tonight. I'm not going to preach something that our church needs because we're in desperation. I'm going to preach a sermon to keep us from ever being in that situation. Amen. This is changing the oil before the engine has a problem kind of sermon. I need you to listen to me tonight. It's going to be a very heated sermon. It might be a loud sermon. I might choose to kick somebody off the platform or something off the platform. I don't know, but I just want you to listen very carefully. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 4 is the account of the Ark of the Covenant being taken. It had been stolen by the Philistines. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, listen to me, the Ark of the Covenant was a box similar to the Lord's Supper table. It wasn't much bigger than what the Lord's Supper table would be. In that box, there were three things. There was a golden pot of manna from the wilderness wandering. There was Aaron's rod that had budded. And there were the two tables of the law that had the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, many of the things that were in there, written there in, on there. It wasn't just the Ten Commandments, just so you know. The Ten Commandments were the civil law. And on top of that Ark of the Covenant, there was like a chair. It was called the mercy seat. On either side, there were seraphims with six wings, two in, two up, two back, and they were pointing towards that chair. Once a year in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, the high priest would go in, place the blood on the mercy seat, and the Shekinah glory of God, the cloud of God, would come down, hover in that Holy of Holies, signifying his presence with the people for another year. It was the holiest piece of furniture. If you remember when they were moving that in the day of David, they were moving it. It shook on a cart. Number one, it wasn't supposed to be on the cart. And a man reached up and touched it, and God killed him. It was never to be touched by human hands. It was a holy piece of furniture. It was a signification of God's purity and God's holiness to the people. If a high priest went in there wrongly, God would kill him. God made that Ark of the Covenant. It was a very important piece. By the way, it was the central part of the Hebrews, of the Jewish people. As the people camped in the wilderness, the Ark of the Covenant was in the middle, and all 12 tribes had their station around it like the spokes on a wheel in the wilderness. And as the Shekinah glory of God would move the Ark of the Covenant, that wheel turned with it. That's exactly how they moved in the wilderness. They didn't walk in a straight line. They walked with the Ark of the Covenant leading them. Everybody understand that? That was the piece of furniture that when they went into the Red Sea, went first. The crossing of Jericho. When they went into Jordan, it went first. As soon as the high priest's feet touched the water as they carried the ark on their shoulders, the Bible says that the waters parted and they crossed over on dry ground. Say, why did God do that? Because the Ark of the Covenant was something very important. Five times we see here in 1 Samuel chapter 4 the statement, the Ark of God was taken. The Ark of God was taken. The enemy, the Philistines, had come and they had taken the Ark of God. The most holy, the most important piece of furniture, the representation of purity, had been taken from the nation of Israel. Well, one of the sons of Eli, the high priest's wife, was pregnant. Hophni and Phinehas were evil young men, and they were killed in the battle. The high priest, Eli, found out that his children were killed, and the Bible says he was an old man and a heavy man. Later you see the statement that he was a fat man. And he had heard the news that his children were killed, his boys were killed, and that the Ark of God was taken, and he fell backwards off of his chair and broke his neck and died. Word comes to Phinehas' wife that her husband is dead, her brother-in-law is dead, and her father-in-law, Eli the priest, is dead. She was in grief, she was in mourning, but when the news came that the Ark of God was taken, she went into labor. As she went into labor and had this child, for whatever reason, whether it was the grief, whether it was a physical issue, we know not. God does not tell us, but we know that the nurses came to her as the child was born and said, "You're not going to live. What do you want to name this baby?" And she said, "Name it Ichabod, because the glory is departed." Notice what she says, verse number 21. She named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel because the Ark of God was taken." Notice the primary reason was because the Ark of God was taken. Not because of the death of her husband. Not the death of the priest. Though those are mentioned, those came later. You see, Ichabod means the glory is departed. That boy spent the rest of his life walking around as a curse and a reminder to every Jew that the glory had departed from Israel. How'd you like to have a name like that? May I say something? Today, the Ark of God is not a box. The Ark of God is the body of the believer. God says, "What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" What went into the temple? The Ark of the Covenant. That means something inside your life is that Ark of the Covenant. May I tell you what it is? It is your purity. I'm not talking just a physical purity, but the purity of the every person in this room. Let me ask you a question. Is the glory departed? You see, God does not want the enemy to destroy and to steal your purity. There is more than just physical purity. I believe with all my heart that a man ought to marry a woman and be as pure and as virgin as she is at the altar. I think the first kiss ought to be when the preacher says, "You can now kiss your bride." I still believe in it, just so you know. I believe that you, when you get married, you ought to stay married. Now, some of you have been married before. That's okay. Stay married to the one you got. We've made marriage just a, it's more of a, well, I'm going to change banks, might as well change women kind of deal. I still believe that when somebody's living together and they're not married, they're still shacking up. It's not right. It's wrong. They're living in sin and it ought not be done. You're looking at an old-fashioned preacher, folks. I'm not afraid to say it. Shacking up, shacking up. Right's right, wrong's wrong. Sun sets in the west and rises in the east. Can I tell you something? God didn't change his book because it's one of your kids or mine. Welcome to reality. By the way, the lost world can tell when a church or a Christian has lost their purity. When the glory is departed, the world will not keep you any longer than you, than the Philistines kept the Ark of the Covenant. Did you know that the Christian who's backslidden is hated by more people than anybody? They don't feel comfortable at church, so they don't go to church. But when they're in the world knows that they used to go to church. And they don't trust them either and use them up and tear them up. Just in the last couple weeks, I got a phone call from someone who used to sit right here. They're living in sin. I won't go any farther than that. But they said to me, "Preacher, I feel like my church has left me. I feel like my family has left me. And the people that I'm running with don't want me either." I said, "You're the one that left. They didn't leave. Nobody pushed you out." I said, "The door still swings open. Come on in." I said, "Don't you blame us for the way you feel. You're the one living in sin, not us." I said, "Did you say it that rough?" I did. Broke my heart. I didn't enjoy it. But I'm not going to change the truth. You see, you can run to the world and run to the rock concerts and the country western concerts. You can spend your money, but when you need something, they're not going to be there to help you with your bills. Why do you run to the preacher then? Your sports heroes and the Hollywood whores and all of the heroes of today, they want your money. They don't give a rip about you. Everybody doing okay? By the way, Hollywood has done more to steal the purity of America than anybody in this world. Right. Young people, go back and watch. By the way, there's nothing real in Hollywood. Let me say that again. There's nothing real in Hollywood. Oh, Hollywood and Vine, the walk of stars. Where they put their handprints in the sidewalks. I've been there. Did you know that they go down when they have to put another person's, some whore or some whoremonger's name in the sidewalk? You know, they got to go down there and pressure wash that whole thing because all it is a dirty old sidewalk. Right. Bubble gum and cigarette butts everywhere. When I was down there, there was a guy laying up against the wall and he threw up because he was an old drunk throwing up on all those things. Came back and it had dried up because of the temperature and things. There's people out there getting their picture taken and they're putting their hands right where that guy barfed. They had no idea. Everything's fake in Hollywood, just so you know. None of it's real. So many of them end up committing suicide. You say why? Because it's not real. Now, give me just a few moments and I'm going to throw a fit. There's three areas that we've lost our purity. Number one, mental purity. What we talk about, what we think about, our world has lost its purity. May I read something to you out of the book of Romans? Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. It's in reference to our generation, just so you know. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28, the Bible says this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. This is in reference to the Sodomites. This is in reference to the LGBTQ alphabet soup people of our nation today. God did not make Adam and Steve, he made Adam and Eve. You're welcome. God didn't make man to be with man. God made man to be with woman. God did not make the Sodomites. The Sodomites are reprobates. I didn't say it. God did. Don't get mad at me. Don't get your tail in a twist. God said it. Say, preacher, can't believe you preach like that. Hang on. It's going to get worse. That's point number one. We think about it's criminal that a church has to post on their bathrooms the statement that you can only use that bathroom if it's your birth gender. It's criminal. 30 years ago when I started preaching, you didn't have to say anything like that. Nobody wondered if they were a boy or a girl. Did you know you go out in the cattle lot, you know which one's the bulls and which ones are the cows? And they know really well. Did you know two bulls don't wonder if they should be together? They might start snorting and snotting and kicking dirt, and they're going to push each other around because they want the cows. They don't want each other. Brother, the day some man starts looking good to me, just take me out back and shoot me. Matter of fact, don't even take me out back. Just shoot me now. Some hairy-legged man doesn't do nothing for this dude. Trust me. Brother Scott, I love you. I have no desire to hold your hand or kiss you. Amen. And the moment I do, just get rid of me.
Yes, sir.
You laugh. We now live in a world where you have man purses.
Yes, sir.
You now live in a world where men drive around with license plates on the front of their car talking about that real men dress like women every day. Saw that this week and wanted to barf all over the guy's car. We think about too much impurity. Say why? Your television. Your movies. Your videos. We watch sodomites to the point where we've accepted it as an alternate lifestyle. It is a death style, not a lifestyle. God made AIDS for a reason. Everybody doing okay? It didn't come about just because. It came about because of perversion. STDs are real because of man's perversion. It is God's judgment on the mental purity and physical impurity of our day. I'm talking about the music that we listen to. Your music influences your mind. You show me your music, I'll show you what you think about. I don't care if it's Conway Twitty and Reba McEntire. Everybody sleeping with everybody else's spouse, drinking and getting sick. carousing, doing whatever you want, waking up not knowing what you got back, or the filthy perversion of rock music. You got death rap. You've got goth rock. You've got shock rock. You've got hip hop. You've got all the other junk that's out there. You got rap music that's crawled out of the pit of hell. We wonder why people take guns out and shoot people, and we call them insane. No, they've watched it on television. They've heard it in their music. They've seen it every day of their life, and they think that's what they're supposed to do. They play it in their video games. If you let your children play games that kill people, get some sense.
Amen.
You are training your children to be murderers. Well, it's just a game. It's not just a game. It's mental impurity. Everybody doing okay? I'm talking about what you read. Used to say magazines. I'm talking about what you read on your phone or your iPad or your tablet or whatever. I'm going to get in trouble on this one. Too many people read New Age material. Ooh. New Agers is a definition of demonology. Is all it is the underworld. They want to call it a New Age. It's Satanism. It's witchcraft. I didn't know it till just before church. I had my sermon picked out a long time ago. We had a person in our church today that was a Wiccan witch, and I preached about demons today. They sat there and took it. They got the truth today. Say, you find out and you still preach it? The truth doesn't change because of who walks through that door.
Right.
Might be what they need to get them saved. I'm talking about your video games. Some of you get mad if somebody came to church dressed like characters on your video game. Would you let your daughter dress like the games you play? Then what are you playing? Double standard. It's about time America gets right with God with everything that they have. The demonism, the occultish symbolism. The Greek mythological gods and the names of Satan that are involved in the video games of today is unbelievable. And yet you let your children and some of you adults play those games. It's just a game. Yes, and Satan has conditioned your mind to think that. We have a bunch of mental Ichabods. The glory is departed. Boy, I'm glad I didn't grow up in your house. Yeah, you ought to be. You'd have a whole different line of thinking, let me tell you. It's time we quit thinking about sin so much. You know what makes the news so bad? All they report is sin. Or alleged sin. I get to the point, I honestly can't listen to more than a few minutes of news. I read my news so that I can pick and choose what negative I choose. Go back and look at a newspaper from the 1950s. So-and-so had a baby. This person had this. This person got awarded this. You see all the neighborhood positives and very little negative. Used to be information of positive nature. Now it's just all the filth and vileness of our society. Then we go to a shooting and put it on the news for about 10, 12 hours so that we can train the next shooter. I got to move on. Number two. We have a bunch of mental Ichabods. Number two, physical purity. Did you know? Here it comes. The Philistines are the ones that took the Ark of the Covenant. Do you know what happened to the Philistines when they took the Ark of the Covenant? God gave them something called emerods. It was not hemorrhoids. And if you don't know what those are, be glad. It's a pain somewhere. I thought I did that one pretty good, Brother Harry. That was pretty funny. I didn't even think of that one until just then. Emerods were what you would know as an STD or a sexually transmitted disease. It was akin to herpes. God gave those who stole the purity a disease because they were physically impure. May I say this, God has more diseases out there. AIDS and VD are not the only two in God's gun chamber. He's got a magazine full ready to shoot. Everybody doing okay? Can I tell you something? Young people, listen to me. I'm glad you all are here tonight. Everybody look at me. If you're under the age of 20 years old, you ought to wait till your college to go to start dating. You have no business dating as a teenager. Grow up. Enjoy life. Get some maturity about you. The average teenager in this room knows more about the physical life than people did 40 years ago before they got married. We are training children from kindergarten up sex education. Didn't think I'd ever have to say that in the pulpit. Say, what is sex education? Sex education was the introductory to the sodomites to say that you can have sex with anybody or anyone, just as long as you love them. That's wicked as hell. You're supposed to be pure till you get married. And I'm going to make a statement here. If you get married and you're pure, in God's eyes, you're still pure. You ought not to stay pure until you get married. You ought to stay pure until the day you die. My daughter turned 13. I gave her a purity ring. She was to wear that till she got engaged. She was so happy to get rid of it. She still has it. I've asked her for it back so that I can turn it into a necklace for her wedding day. Because I want her to be pure to that young man the rest of her life. You say, why? Because that's the way it should be. I don't preach stay pure until you get married. I preach stay pure through your marriage. Keep thee unto him or her so long as you both shall live. That's part of the vows. Everybody doing okay? Wait until you go to college. I'm talking about the way people dress. Folks, God said nakedness is exposing the thigh and baring the shoulder. Hang on. I don't care if you're a man or if you're a woman, but if your shoulders are uncovered and your knees are uncovered, guess what? God says you're naked. I didn't say it. God did. I don't think it's right for a man to wear shorts that uncovers his thigh, nor do I think a woman ought to uncover her thigh. The harlot is known in the Bible because her skirt would be slit up above, exposing her thigh. That's what the attire of an harlot is. I didn't say it. God did. God said that a man shouldn't wear a woman's apparel. Get rid of the Fruit Loops and weirdos on that one. But God also said that a woman shouldn't wear a man's apparel. If I came out in a dress and pantyhose and high heels tonight, everybody ought to throw up and you men ought to shoot. Amen? Don't even throw me out, just shoot me out. Amen? You'd say, that's disgusting, preacher. Then why is it right for a woman to dress like a man? I'm not angry. I'm just telling you what God said. We ought to keep ourselves covered. Bless God. I got shingles last week. And the doctor said, well, make sure you don't expose them to too much sunlight. I said, Doc, they ain't seen sunlight in so many decades. They wouldn't know what it was. They'd run and hide. I said, they don't do that. Can I tell you something? We ought to be pure physically. Ladies, dress so that a man's attention is to your face and to your eyes and to your mouth, not to the rest of your body. Our styles of today are to draw attention to ladies' body parts. Denim is now faded to show the thighs off or the rear end off to draw a man's attention. Everybody doing all right? By the way, why do we want to look like the world anyway? Did you ever see what they look like? Did you ever go to the airport and just watch people? Last time I was at the airport, I was flying to Illinois. And this thing walked by. I'm not quite sure even to this day what it was. Because half of its head was shaved on this side, and the other half was piked up like in long hair with a spike down the middle, and it had all different colors in it. Had chains, and it looked like it got in a fight with a pop rivet gun, things in its nose and its cheek and its tongue, and it's dressed in all kinds of weird clothes, and it was walking by me. I'm going, and I was sitting with a group of people, and I'm just looking. He said, "What you looking at?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Man, you're weird. You got a Bible." I said, "You're calling me weird?" And a couple older folks that were there, they're going, I said, dude, or dudette, I'm not sure. I did. I said it just like that. I said, "You think I'm weird? Look around." He said, "You didn't do that, preacher." "Yes, I did." What's he going to do? Hit me with his purse? I don't know. Man, you know, it's half man, half woman. I'm not sure which half it was, but there it was. You see, I believe we ought to be pure physically. I believe we ought to stay pure physically. Guys, keep your hands to yourself. Don't touch the women. Ladies, keep your hands to yourselves. Don't draw the man in. Everybody doing okay? When you date, don't touch each other. I told my kids, you keep enough distance, keep at least 6 inches to you. You put the Bible between you, you got to crawl over Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Jesus to get to each other. It'll work, I promise you. It'll work. See, but we just love each other. Good, wait till you get married, and then spend the next 50 years making up for it. It's worth the wait, I promise you. So they were Ichabod's mentally, they were Ichabod's physically. Here we go, they were Ichabod's spiritually. Some of you have a god of sports. You spend more time on sports than you do reading your Bible and walking with God. Some of you teenage boys can spend hours practicing sports and playing sports and watching sports. How much time did you spend in that book this week? Amen. I'm just being frank with you. Folks, I don't want Grace Baptist Church to have the name Ichabod written across the front. You go to the churches that aren't even open tonight, and it's Ichabod, the glory is departed. They got to have a swimming pool for Sunday school to get anybody to come at the local Southern Baptist Church. I won't give any names, but it's within a mile of here. They set up an outdoor swimming pool and tell people to come in their swimsuits to come to swim for Jesus. That's wicked as hell. A bunch of boys and girls taking their clothes off, wearing their underwear, swimming in a pool just to go to church. Folks, people wear less than they wear for underwear to swim, and they call it activity. Folks, you wouldn't walk down the street in your underwear. Just because you paint fun colors and put polka dots and stars all over it doesn't make it right. Somebody say amen. Just because you're in a hole with water in it and sand around it doesn't make it right to be sitting there in public in your underwear. Yes, sir. Just going to say it. Some of you, your TV's your God. Some of you, fun is your God. Can I tell you something? How about we spend time with God? How about you spend as much time with your face in the book as you do on Facebook?
Amen.
Ouch. Some of you, that's your God. You're addicted to it. Some of you ought to put as much time in the Bible as you put on your texting and phone and Facebook and social media. Everybody doing okay? How about prayer? Sweet hour of prayer. Some of you haven't prayed an hour total in the last month. When's the last time you ever walked up to somebody and said, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven, and give them the gospel? It's the last time you handed somebody a gospel tract, at least. Folks, we have a world that's dying and going to hell, and we don't care. We're having fun in our rocking chair. Can I tell you something? We have a nation that is spiritually weak. I said something to someone this evening about this. I probably even shouldn't say it in public, but I'm going to. Be honest with you, I was a little concerned. I used to hear my preacher say, I can run a church of 1,500 without needing an assistant pastor. This church has gotten to a point where I need an assistant pastor. We're not running 1,500. But it's bothered me. I've wept and cried and told God I know I'm not a good leader. About 6-8 weeks ago, God gave me something, Brother Sam. My preacher started pastoring in the 1940s. In the 1940s and the 1950s and even into the early 1960s, America had character and America understood church. We live in a generation that does not understand church at all. And please don't get mad at me for saying this, and this is not a criticism, but stand up here. This young man, back in the 1940s, would have been an average church member, not a staff member. This is what everybody was like. Lay people had the ability to lead. Lay people had been taught church. Lay people had been in church, and there wasn't a whole lot of difference between the Methodists, the Baptists, and the Nazarenes. It's just how the ladies wore their hair. One in a bun, one real long, and one just average. That was the biggest difference in those days. And people understood character and hard work, and they were able to lead and work, and it was natural for them to get involved in church. This generation does not understand that. They don't. It's totally a foreign language to them. 50 years ago, that's your average church member. Now I have to hire what was average. Everybody doing okay? Thank you. That was not a criticism. I want to show you where America is at today. I've told both of those young men, our job is to train our church so that we can get to the point where we can grow even more. I've told him one of his jobs is to train trainers. Not train followers, train trainers. And he'd been like that who can train other people to help us. Everybody doing okay? Say why? Because we need trainers. Because when we fill this building up and go into that building, and this turns into more Sunday school classes and another junior church, and we add 3 or 4 bus routes, amen. And we start reaching a whole lot more people, I need more Sunday school teachers. I need more nursery workers. I need more Sunday school assistants. I need more help, and you need trained. But there are people in here. Brother Juan, bless God, he's a young man, but this is all new to him. 40 years ago, he didn't know just about what that young man knows right now, because that's what everybody was taught. They don't know that now. They've got to be taught for a while. It's not a criticism. It's just where we are in our nation today. We have got to be willing to be trained so we can train another generation. I don't want to be that generation that says, I've got it, I've given it to the next generation, they do it what they want. No, it's my job to teach them, to teach the next generation, to teach the next generation. This church does not have to die if I walked away and died from this pulpit. God gave this church divine perpetuity, not this preacher.
Amen.
We need people who are willing to get on their face before God, study this book, be willing to help somebody, be willing to work here and there, to step up to what God wants us to step up to, and not become Ichabod, the glory is departed. I'm done. Let me say this. That old outline right there, I preached that sermon 20 years ago. I didn't change the outline. I have changed some of the words in there because we don't have tapes and magazines anymore. I do a little fixing on it. I want to keep me in check. I'm still preaching what I preached 20 years ago. Haven't changed it. Can I tell you something? 20 years from now, I want to pull it out and preach it again. Say why? Because I don't want our church to have the name Ichabod, the glory is departed, written over it. Do you? Then how about we band together and decide we'll stay pure mentally. We'll stay pure physically. We'll stay pure spiritually. We'll step up and do that and start training others to do also. Because God does not want us to lose the purity he's given us of the word of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm as serious as I can be right now. I believe that the future of Grace Baptist Church in some ways hangs in the balance of tonight's sermon. The people in this room are going to be the catalyst to make it work. If God has worked on your heart tonight, I bet you come to an old-fashioned altar and get on your face before God. And whatever area we need to keep right or get right or just tighten up a little bit, how about we do it?